This is your God. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I have a simple message this morning, and I want to encourage us all to lift our eyes to the Lord Jesus. A fortnight ago, I preached on the light of the world. We are Christ's reflections. The church, the body, is the light of the world. Jesus is the glory of the Father, the only begotten of God. And I was stirred by the Holy Spirit to continue along these lines, to preach Christ, to lift him up as Lord over all. I pray this would encourage you this morning. I pray that you could fix your eyes upon Jesus. I pray the children and the young adults would be encouraged, the teens and preteens, all of us here today. Jesus Christ is the glorified Son of the Father. Whilst on this earth, he showed a pattern of complete surrender and self-denial and obedience to the Father, being without sin. It is Christ who's the head. It is Christ who is the Lord. He's the head of the church, the body. He is Lord over all. And I want to lift him up this morning. We need, as a body, as a people, to exalt him to the highest level. You know, in these days and over time, I've had the opportunity to build a relationship with a Lebanese person, a Bangladeshian, and where's the other chap from? I can't recall. Men who are Muslims, and you know, they esteem a higher power, and they know that the only way to worship God is to bite the dust, to humble themselves, to bow down. And yes, they bow down to a God they do not know. And yet we, the church of Jesus Christ, we have, friends, the King of glory to worship, to magnify. How much more should our adoration and our sacrifice and our praise be lifted to him who reigns forever, who is God? And so, as we turn to our Bible reading, let's open in Colossians as we ask the Lord's help over this time. Colossians 1:15 is our text. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've already done in this meeting, Lord. We've lifted our hearts to you in song and in prayer, in adoration of you. This is our God. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation has come in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, now to the uttermost parts. We thank you, Lord, that salvation has come to the Gentiles. Lord, we praise you, we thank you that we are part of the church, the glorified Lord Jesus reigning over all. We want to magnify you, Lord. We want to lift you up to your rightful place. I pray you would open this out to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians 1 and verse 15 says that Jesus Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so the first point I want to make there this morning is that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He is the firstborn over all creation. And you have not known God until you have known his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who bow down in the dust. There are those who nail themselves even to crosses at Easter time. There are those who give their body to be burnt, and yet they do not know God. They do not know God. Friends, Jesus Christ is God. Young people, children, have you known this? Jesus was not just a rabbi, a teacher, a worker of miracles. Jesus is God. And Colossians declares that he is the image of the invisible God. But if we turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, it's further expounded to us. Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll take a few verses here, the first 9. Revelations 1:5 also says that He is the firstborn over all creation and the ruler over all kings of the earth. Jesus our Lord. Hebrews 1:1, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Through who? Through Christ. Through His Son, who is God, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Here it is. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He, that is Christ, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus is not an angel, as some movements would declare, as some would go to your door proclaiming. He is not an angel, as some that I saw yesterday walking the beat, walking the streets of Hazelbrook, preaching a false gospel. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is exalted above angels. And verse 5 says, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, let all the angels of God worship Him. He is lifted up above all that is created, because He is the Creator. He is above all. He is God. And of the angels, He says, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire? That is their place. That is their recognition. But verse 8 says, but to the Son, God says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You've loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Jesus Christ is lifted up. As a fortnight ago, I considered the church, considered that we are the reflections of Christ. And in that message, I raised the scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, it says, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. He is not an angel. He is not just a teacher, prophet, or rabbi. We can soundly declare Him as God to this world. And we must declare Him as God. Anything less than that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. What does it say in 2 Peter 1:1? To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you proclaim to men, as you proclaim God to men, I was speaking to an Afghani man this past week, as you build relationships to those who are open to talk on spiritual matters, it's so difficult to speak to people on spiritual matters in this day and age. There is so much resistance from those who love this world. But there are those who are in our midst, friends. Those who have escaped killing and persecution and refugees, as we heard in recent times. There are those in this world who are open to spiritual things. And as we declare Christ, as we lift Him up, We must make it clear, and only the Holy Spirit can illumine to the heart of man, that Jesus is God, because that is the point of salvation. That is the place when I was saved, when I realized Jesus Christ is God. That's when I became filled with the Spirit, born again. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to me. And we go and we preach Christ. We preach Jesus Christ is God. In John 8 and 58, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am." They said, "You're not even 40 years old. How can you blaspheme? Before Abraham was, I am." Remember, as the word was spoken through the burning bush to Moses, tell them, saying, "I am has sent you. I am has sent you." Friends, we preach Jesus Christ. We preach Him as God. No other method, no fancy way. Jesus Christ is God. And those who are hungry, those who are yearning, may the Holy Spirit reveal that to them. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested, that is, revealed in the flesh. God came down. We preach Him. It's hard soil, it's hard ground, but to lift Jesus Christ up as Lord of all, we preach Christ as God. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Received up in glory. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God, and He is the Creator of all things. He's the Creator of all things. And according to Colossians and according to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Children, Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth. The one that came to earth, the one who was pierced for us, the one who bled for us. He created all things, yet He was reviled, yet it seemed He was weak. He was lifted up on a cross. Didn't He have the power to come down? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. But He chose to suffer and die. The one who had made all things, all creation, all mankind. That mankind, that people, nailed Him to a tree. All things were made through Him, and without Him, without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Friends, I believe in sin and death more and more as I see this world and its darkness. Visit the emergency ward of a hospital. Go to where the frail are, to where the sick are, to where the dying are. Some look as if they should not even be alive. Sin is real. Death is real. Death is real. As one preacher said, "Yesterday I was 3, today I'm 33, and tomorrow I'm 83. That's how short this life is. That's how short this life is. I watched a man being wheeled on a wheelchair, frail, grave, ashen, one leg missing. Friends, death is real. Men and women are dying all around us. And we do not know the time. We do not know the hour. The effect of sin is great. There is sin and there is death. And yet men are dying without Christ because they don't believe that He is the Creator God. They don't believe He is a Creator God. It's a massive stumbling block. The minds of men have been polluted. Even in my workplace, in this past week, in a simple thing, such as a workshop on innovation, Charles Darwin had to be brought into the equation. Friends, the minds of men are so polluted, they take it as gospel truth that God did not create the heavens and the earth. And it's a massive stumbling block. And yet they're dying in sin, yet the effects of sin can readily be seen. They are seen and obvious to all. The outer man is perishing. It is so obvious that man is dying, and yet man will not believe in a creator God. But we preach Christ, friends. Preach Him as Lord over all. Preach Jesus Christ as God. Preach Jesus Christ and proclaim Him as the creator of all things. He has the power over all creation. Because He is the power, remember, when the winds and the seas obeyed Him, all powers are subject to Him. They marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" Yes, they obey Him because He created them. Jesus, you look at the gospel and you look at all of His acts and all of His miracles and all of His works. They were all in keeping. They were all in conformity to this overriding principle that He created all things. Read and open the Gospels and read the New Testament with that complete mindset that Jesus is Creator, Creator God. 1 Peter 3:22 says, "He, Christ, has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him." Romans also declares it right through the book of Romans. Lifting up Christ, Jesus, as having all authority over all power. Everything is subject to Him because He created it. If man creates a machine, he can change and reconfigure that machine. Whether it's a computer, whether it's a piece of engineering, whatever it might be, the creator, the inventor, the one who has made that, has power over his creation. And can modify it and has all authority over it. And so Christ is the creator of all things and all powers are subject to Him. Number three, why Jesus Christ is Lord, why we ought to lift Him up is that Jesus holds all things together. He holds all things together. Colossians say, "In Him all things consist." All things are held together. Friends, the branch is reliant upon the vine. The branch is reliant upon the vine. The branches cannot boast of themselves. John 15:5, Jesus declares, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Who? Those who are grafted in. Those who are His. You know, the church today has many programs and religion as a whole has many works-based programs, but we preach Christ. We lift up Christ as God. We lift up Christ as the Creator. We lift up Jesus Christ as the One who holds all things together. We cannot take our eyes off Him for one moment. We cannot take our eyes off Him and look to man and look to man's programs and look to man's works and say, "Oh, what a great work so-and-so is doing," and, "Oh, what a great church so-and-so is." No, no. Look at the history. Look at the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Look at the ones who have trod in His footsteps. Those had one thing in common. They did not boast of themselves. The branches cannot boast of themselves. We heard of Hudson Taylor. Look at men, look at the men of God in our history, even in modern history. Look at the ones today who are giving their lives on the altar. They reserve Christ His rightful place. They reserve Christ. No fancy programs. No looking to man. No glory to man. No glory to man's program. No glory to self. Glory to Him alone. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus alone must be lifted up. Jesus alone must be glorified. If Jesus were not the head of the church, there would be no body. Without Him, we can do nothing. There is no church without Christ. Look around today, and there is so much which is puffed up, which does not give Christ the preeminence. Which does not give Christ the preeminence. You know, there's much attention and glory heaped upon the church in this age. What it is doing, what it can do. Friends, the church has no power in and of itself. We are completely dependent. I want to denounce any view this morning that the church has any power in and of itself. It's a humbling thing. It's a humbling thing. We have nothing, friends. Nothing in my hand I bring. The hymn writer said, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. In the modern church, what does that mean? Foul, I to the fountain fly. Read the Puritans. Read the men of God who have shed their blood. Not because it granted them anything, but because they were obedient and because they exalted Jesus as God. Because they exalted Jesus as Creator. Because they exalted Jesus as the head of the church and the one who holds all things together. Back in Hebrews 1:3, as we read, He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. In Him all things consist, Colossians says. There is nothing held together except Jesus. He holds this world together. And His, by His grace, His reign still falls on the just and the unjust. Even though we don't deserve it. Jesus is the head of the church. Lastly, I want to look at this aspect from Colossians. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. As Colossians 1 verse 17 says, He is before all things, in Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Remember Diotrephes in 3 John 1 and 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. There is a spirit of Diotrephes alive and well today. Such a spirit that if Paul the apostle were to walk into that church, he would not be received. Such a spirit that if Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit, were to come, He would not be received. Because man is there. Because man's program is there. And man's works are present. But the true church, the blood-bought children of Jesus Christ, acknowledge Jesus is head. He is the Saviour of the body, and He deserves to have all the preeminence among us. He deserves to be lifted up in our lives. That when John the Baptist, the greatest born among women, declared, I must decrease, but He must increase. What kind of a message, what kind of a church, what kind of a following did John the Baptist have? Such a one that cost him his head. No glory. No glory to man. I must decrease, but He must increase. He has all things under His feet, according to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. And He put all things under His feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. God has given his son all power. He has all majesty. And he's the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And later in Ephesians 5:23, it says, as the husband is head of the wife, so also is Christ the head of the church and the savior of the body. He deserves to have all preeminence among us. How feeble is our greatest sacrifice? How weak is our greatest adoration of him? That should propel us toward him. Propel us toward him. Philippians 2 and verse 9 to 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted him. That is Christ. And given him the name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I wonder if in your quiet time, you bow the knee before Jesus. If Muslims bite the dust, how are our prayers to the living God? How is our quiet time in his presence? Do you know him? Have you met Jesus who is God? Have you met Jesus who is the creator of the universe? Have you met Jesus who holds the church together? Have you met Jesus who is the head of the body, the church, who must have the preeminence among us? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If the God of all glory, the God of the universe, magnified his Son in such a way, should not we, frail creatures of the dust, not pay him greater homage, greater worship, greater adoration? Should not our exaltation of him, our dedication to him, exceed that of all the false cults and religions of men? You say it is of grace, not of works, and I say yes, lest any man should boast. Have you tasted of that grace? Have you tasted of that grace that propels to self-denial, a daily taking up of your cross, a life filled with glory to him who merits, who deserves all praise, who deserves to have all the preeminence among us? Christ came as a suffering servant. And we're going to remember his sacrifice around this table. Despised and rejected of men, rejected of his own creation. Yet God has glorified his Son and given him a name above every name. Friends, don't be discouraged. Spend much time with God. Walk with him. Abide in him. As you are in the vine, and lift him up in your life. It's just a short encouragement I bring this morning. To lift up Christ. To give him the preeminence in my life. That he may have the rightful place. That he might have the rightful worship. That our lives would be filled with his glory, with his light, for he deserves all praise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. We see you this morning high and holy and lifted up, but yet one who dwells with him who is of the broken spirit and a contrite heart. Lord, I pray that as we go out, we might see you we might live as though you are God, as though you are Creator God, and give you the rightful preeminence as the head over the church and Lord over us. I pray we would not take these words lightly when we say Jesus is Lord, because that means that we are His bond servants. I pray, Lord Jesus, that in our quiet time, in our worship, in all that we do, we would proclaim you as God. I pray for opportunities with those around us, with those who want to talk on spiritual things, Lord, and there is a hard crust. We live in a barren land, but Lord, give us opportunities, Lord Jesus. Give us opportunities to proclaim you as God. We might preach Jesus Christ and Him alone. Work by your grace, Lord. Work in our midst, I pray. Take my feeble words, Lord, this morning and glorify your name. In Jesus I pray.